This is Spring Trial Podcast. Today's episode is about graphic design, how to be a freelancer, typography, how to come up with new ideas, a lot of topics. I'm talking with Lia Chutney, a graphic designer, freelancer, currently in Hamburg, but originally from Tel Aviv, graduated 2019 at the Shenkar College of Engineering and Design, and with an exchange program in Weissensee Academy of Art, Berlin. Nice to have you here. Hi, Loliat.
Hi, I'm glad to be in this podcast and I'm excited to be here.
Great. Maybe we start with the question like Berlin or Hamburg, which is a better
city? Oh, that's a good question. It depends on which terms. I think for living, I would say Hamburg. It's much a nicer city, and yeah, it's much more comfortable, and yeah, it's a little bit smaller. It feels a lot more like home. And Berlin, yeah, Berlin is much more fun.
So you have the more nice Hamburg on the more fun Berlin on the other hand.
Yeah, I think it's a good mix. Like in days that there's not Corona, you can just drop by for the weekend to have fun and then come back and live your life in Hamburg.
Yeah. And I think like Hamburg and Berlin are very well connected. There are a couple of guys who will travel between Hamburg and Berlin once in a while. That's great. Maybe we start with your book, Store Closing, Everything Must Go. It's kind of telling for this Corona times, like store closing as a title of the book.
Yeah, actually, the name of the book is from one of the stores that I documented. That was the sign. There was no sign of the store. It was only store closing, everything must go. That was the sign. And yeah, so I will explain. That was my bachelor thesis project, which I did in Shenkar College in Tel Aviv. And yeah, basically, the idea that I came up with was to document store signage all over Israel in 14 different towns. In total, I documented over 2,000 signs. And to make a visual research about the findings of the typography in these signs. So, yeah, it was, I didn't know what I'm doing actually at the beginning with, like, it should be like that in a bachelor project in a way, in graphic design and art. You should try and experiment. And I just knew that I'm gonna do something with these store signs. Because always they attracted me since I started learning graphic design. I never really noticed them. Like I wandered through the streets and I never looked up and actually analyzed what I'm seeing. And this is something that surrounds us in our daily life. And usually we just ignore it. And I thought, that's weird that since I started learning design, I'm noticing something that I used to ignore. Maybe there's something in there that's like more interesting that we can learn from. So I started with that.
I think basically it's from like the artist's perspective, the artist's eyes, to just walk the like a random street and notice like the things that like everyday people walk by but don't realize what's the beauty in it and what's the idea that pops up and like being an artist or being a student researching these topics is I think quite amazing.
Yeah, it was very hard as well because I didn't know what I'm doing for a very long time, which is pretty difficult in a bachelor project. But the moment that I realized that I'm actually doing a visual research, everything started to get clearer, and then I could say, okay, I'm making a book out of it with all the summary and all my conclusion in it. And actually, it was pretty interesting. I found out some things that I didn't expect to find that teach us in a way about the Israeli culture. I think as well, if I would go around the streets of Hamburg or Berlin and document the store signage, you will find as well patterns that you can learn about the German culture from. What's going on visually, you can actually learn about the people, because in the end, these are the people are designing it. It's not something that most of these signs are not being designed by graphic designers or someone that studied in the academy. It's something that's called vernacular design. That is a term in art history, which depicts when normal people that are not educated in art or design, what art they make, what design they make. And it was like really connecting to the people in a way. And yeah.
So in this book, you come up with some conclusion about Israeli culture. Is it like that?
Yes and no. You can't really, some conclusions. Yeah. But you can learn from the graphics things that teach us about the cultural society. I will just make one remark, one example from Israel. That in Israel, we have a lot of cities, but some cities are very different than other cities. For example, there's Bnei Brak, which is the ultra-Orthodox city in Israel. And there, mostly ultra-Orthodox Jews live. And I documented the signs all over Israel, and I also calculated the colors in the signs and said, okay, which sign is red, which sign is black, and which sign is purple. And what was really different about Bnei Brak, which there the society is very different than the rest of Israel, is there was a huge percent of signage that were purple. And yeah, and that was like surprising at the beginning. But then when you dig deeper and ask, okay, why is it like that? You realize that in Judaism, purple is a holy color. And the people there, they read more Bible, they're more integrated into the religion. And they obviously will design more things in purple, which teaches us like in a way about the culture. And I found also other things when I did a comparison between old signage and new signage, and I really looked into the typography of the signage, of the hand lettering that attracted me, because that was also something that I found out, and you can also see it probably here in Hamburg, that the old signs back in the days, back in the 50s, 40s, everything was hand-drawn with hands, with paint, with paintbrushes. It was a beautiful art that today has been transformed into computerized fonts, which has also a lot of benefits. Everything is much more accessible. Everything is much more fast. But then you can get to see that the signs that are being made today are actually based on fonts that you can install on your computer and just design something on Illustrator or Photoshop. But back in the days, everything was hand-drawn. And when you hand-draw letters, you always take some sort of reference from a culture. Even if you're not really copying, there's still something in the back of your mind that you know, okay, I know how letters kind of look like, and I'm going to draw letters the way that I know the letters look like. And I did a comparison between signs that I found in archive imagery in Israel and hand lettering that I found today. There is still some left, and also there's new things that people are still making, although everything is much more easier through the computer. And as a graphic designer, as someone that knows typography, I could really notice that the reference world of the signage back in the 50s or the 60s or the 40s was much more European. You can see German, Italian, French influences inside the typography, the way that the letters are being built. And today, from the signs that people are making in hand lettering, you can see much more Eastern and much more Arabic letter forms inside the letters, which depicts the change in Israel, because Israel was founded by European immigrants at the beginning, and through the years, only with the years came also Jewish people from other lands, from the Arabic lands, from Iraq, Iran. And at the first years in Israel, these people were very much oppressed. And only in the late 70s, they came more into power and they came to express themselves. And you can actually see that in the store signs, which surprised me in a way. I didn't expect to find it. But when I did that comparison, I just put it on a spread of paper on the book. And I put on one side the old lettering and the new lettering. And then I printed it out and I looked at it and I was like, hey, now I see the difference. And it's also a thing that I think that today with the books, when we print out things and we look at them, we get to realize a lot of things that we don't see on screen sometimes.
Yeah, I think absolutely the visualization and the visual effects, like to see something like abstract culture or identity or a spirit, like, but seeing it in the letter, in the art form, and researching typography is had been like a huge impact on many developments. Like on the one hand, you can see the graffiti started with like researching street signs and then copying this kind of symbolism and signs of advertisement into like an art form and a street art form and so on. If you look into the typography, Apple basically started with saying we need more than Times New Roman. Mm-hmm. We want to have like at least like 10, 12 different typography. And this was the start of Apple. Or Steve Jobs, who like took the calligraphy classes in the university and come up with Apple in a later point. I think like typography is like kind of the hidden driver of a lot of developments. How do you feel about that?
Typography is amazing. And I love typography very much because inside the letters, even if the letter is very minimalistic and very almost abstract, there is still some sort of hidden message inside the typography of time, of an era, of a meaning. And when you choose a font, it's, yeah, most people just choose and they don't think about it, but it has actually a lot of meaning of which font do you use. And when someone reads it, he gets a totally different message, even if it's very lightly different from each other. But the thing that I found like a little bit sad is this whole hand lettering form is something that is a little bit dying from our world. I think like fonts are an amazing tool and they make life so much easier. But on the other hand, everything becomes a little bit generic with them. So it's always this argument and always this fight of are fonts are actually good? I think yes, but in some cases we still need to see how we differentiate and how we create something that is unique. And yeah, it's always this struggle with graphic design. When you make a logo or something, yeah, you try to find the thing that makes it special, the thing that makes it remarkable, the things that make it rememberable. But on the other hand, you try to make it very abstract and minimal. So I think that it's always this, not argument, but yeah, a little bit this tide between abstract and personalization.
Yeah, or let's say it like a mass production on the, or a reproduction and reproductivity, or like the individuality and like the difference between like art and design and like thin lines between art and design, like what's more unique and what's like more like for the people, for everyday use.
Yeah, that's design, like Yeah, you can't really define it. What's art, what's design? It's a very interesting border and topic that I deal a lot with my work, with my personal work, not so much with my client work, unfortunately. But yeah, it's a thing that always bothers me. What is the border between art and design? If there is such a thing.
Let's talk about a bit about the book publishing and the book design. Like maybe we come back to your book Store Closing, Everything Must Go. How does this thesis get into publishing? Like was this like somehow through your professors, or you found like another way to publish it, or like how did you make it
So
yourself?
this project is not really published as a book. It's only a mini publish of four copies that I did for the bachelor project. So it's
Oh.
not really a publish, but yeah, you still go throughout all of the steps that you do in real publish. And I did get to work on a publish of a book. It's called On the Chumusut. It's from a studio that I used to work with, Dan Alexander. It's a bo amazing book about hummus. And I can say that still the processes of doing a bachelor project and publishing your own book, also in a mini copy and not a very big publication, you still have to go through those steps of drafting out in the first drafts, understanding the grid of the book, understanding what is the content that you ha actually have in your hands, and actually designing some sort of grid that in that grid you know that you can put all your content inside, all the things that you have that you know that you're gonna put inside the book. You need to understand, okay, I have this grid, and this grid will support me throughout the whole book. So I can put, if I know I'm gonna have graphs and I'm gonna have images and I'm gonna have text and I'm gonna have this kind of text and I'm gonna have tables, you need to find something that will work for everything. And that's a big challenge. And from that, you need to understand what is the format, what is the size of this thing. And yeah, and then when you go through, you that's like the first base of like understanding, okay, what's the content and how I create this system that supports the whole content. And throughout the whole time, you have to print out drafts, lots of black and white drafts to just like see it and understand, okay, is it legible? Is it designed in a good way? Everything is detailed and everything is examined, and only after that you come into the later stages, refining and yeah, and also correcting the content and saying, okay, the text here is not good, and I gave it to a few friends that they know how to correct text very well. Yeah. And then in the end, there comes the nice part that you say, okay, which cover am I gonna make? Which extra foil am I gonna make? What I'm gonna do to make it a little bit? Yeah, it's again this contradiction between something that is minimalistic and normal to something a little bit more special and unique.
Maybe we go on with your project for the book Fahrenheit 451. So this was like a project you did for
No,
someone else, and like what's
yeah, I can
your
explain. It was also a university project that I did in book design course. The task was to take a book that you've read and to redesign it into a different book. For instance, you have a cookbook and you're redesigning it as a reading book. And Fahrenheit is a science fiction book about this regime in the future that burns books, that you can't hold a book in your hand, and the firemen are actually trusted to burn all the books in this regime. And I don't want to spoil it, but there is a spoiler coming on. The guy, like the main character, he runs away from the regime. He's a fireman and he reads like a few lines in a book that he's supposed to burn, and he says, "Wow, this is beautiful." And he runs away and he meets a group of renegades that each renegade, he memorizes a book by heart. So each person has a book that he memorized to the day that this regime fades away, and then he will be able to rewrite the book. So I still very much think that this topic, unfortunately, is very relevant with people not being able to accept other people's opinion. And what I designed, I redesigned this book into a rote learning book, a memorization book. So every scene in the original book is redesigned into a memorization technique. For instance, you have a word and then you have a whole song with that word just to remember that word, or you have inside memory game, or you have inside imagery that associates with the words. And from a really small 180 page books, it became a 900 page book. That's also the idea, to exaggerate the size and to make it a very big book. And everything is emphasized and redesigned from the original book that I've read, which was the simple paperback cover. Also the paper, also the fonts, everything is like the memory of the real book. And that was that project.
Oh, I see. Maybe you can talk a bit like about your ongoing projects, what you're doing at the moment in Hamburg, and what is like typical questions or projects people approach you
Yeah,
with.
so today I'm working with a studio in Paris, a little bit on branding. Brand identity, rebranding for brands. And I'm also working with an agency here in Hamburg called Popular. And I'm doing lots of brand identity for projects, for brands that want to be rebranded, and so on. Also working on a brand project from a client in Israel. And yeah, basically, a client usually approaches me. And says, "Hey, I have this company. We already have like an old logo, or we don't have a logo at all. We don't have a strategy. We don't have visual language. We don't have a website." And then there I am to help this client to find out all these things. So that's like my client work. Some of it is very rewarding, and some of the clients are amazing. And it has been very rewarding so far. I do need to update my portfolio and add some of these works. Most of the works that I have on my portfolio currently are from university. And on the personal level, I'm working a little bit, always like I'm creating visual stuff on my Instagram feed, and people can look on that, like posters and just photographs. And I just created a poster for a changing exhibition in Eppendorf that was without subject, but you had to create a poster that was black and white. And I also, from the visit in Hamburg, I got to actually handle something that is very emotional and very personal that I didn't get to deal with for a lot of years. Which was visiting in Neuen Gamme for a few months ago. It's the
Oh,
first time that I got to visit
cool.
in a KZ, in a concentration. And yeah, my family, yeah, it was tough. It
Wow,
was
that's
very
tough.
tough. And obviously, my family come from roots of Holocaust. And always, like, I get to see the Stolperstein here and the bunkers, and every time, like, the subject is like always like around me here, and I get to confront it a lot, which is actually important in my opinion. And after that visit, I was like, what the hell? I don't even know the names of my relatives that I lost in the Holocaust. And since that moment, I decided that I want to make a family research about my family, a personal family research. And I just sat online and I was amazed to find that there's a lot of archives online that one can look up online and just find lots of papers. And I found a lot of information about my family that no one in my family has ever seen. And hopefully next year we're lying for Stolperstein in Ungarn, in Hungary. And if it would be successful, we will be able to lay five more stones in Slovakia. And there we just need to find the address and to get like confirmation from the municipality, because it's a little bit complicated. It used to be in Hungary, and after the war it's now in Slovakia, and they changed the address of the whole streets, so it's a little bit more complicated. But if we will be successful locating that address and getting the right confirmation, we will be able to lay there five stones. And then I thought, okay, what can I do as a graphic designer? And hopefully when we will lay these stones and I will take some photographs of them, then I can take all the papers and all the research that I found and create this personal book with the family history. It's just like a project for myself. It's not a project for any client. It's something personal that I want to do for my family and for my relatives. And yeah, just so people will know the names, will know the history, and will never forget.
Absolutely, very meaningful work, and yeah, very touching to hear it. And I think it do something with you, and like to face all these things, and like to be a part of the memory culture, so to keep the memory alive. And yeah, I think very tough topic, but I think there it's important to keep
Yes,
the memory alive.
absolutely.
And also I think like positive and good for your family, like to know more about the history and where you're coming from and what's happened, and to also give an impact to German society and culture, like just keep the memory alive and say like
Yes,
never again.
definitely.
Okay, Liat, let me feel with you. I wish you all the best for your projects and for your personal mission and also for your work life. Well, it was a pleasure to talk with you. For my listeners, like if you like to hear more about Liat Chatmi or want to reach out for a brand identity project or anything like that, you're welcome to find him either following him on Instagram or visiting his website. Liat Chatmi, thank you very much for
Thank you
talking
so
with
much,
you.
Flo, for having me. I'm really glad to be here, and I wish everybody all the best in this tough time. Keep your heads up, make a day plan. It helps a lot. And just go out every day for a walk, if you can, if you're not doing quarantine. I wish you all the best.